persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning: the brain massage show stimulates genuine thought. Persons unaccustomed to this experience are often overwhelmed. Stay tuned. Your brain is about to be massaged.
Stand by.
The brain massage show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. San Bernardino. Spent some time there, near the former location of my alma mater. And it appears, my friends, that the Muslim radicals have landed. Jihad has come to our streets. Well, it's been here a while, but we're beginning to feel it. Pressure's mounting. Race tensions continue to escalate. The latest one I know about is Black Lives Matter protest in Minneapolis over the November shooting of a 24-year-old fellow by the name of Jamar Clark, who was reputed to be a thug that resisted arrest, took control of one of the officer's guns, and was shot in the process. And so Black Lives Matter organizers stage a sit-in, blocking access to a police headquarters, if I understand this report correctly, and completely blocking one of the roads in the 4th Precinct, setting up what has been described as a shanty town. Now, folks, a shanty town refers to a place where homeless people squat and live in what are called shanties, makeshift shelters made of scraps of plywood or corrugated metal or boxes or plastic or whatever's available. Anyway, this was tolerated for about a week there in Minneapolis, and after repeated orders to organize their protest, to allow for the free flow of traffic and access to the public buildings they were blocking, after these were ignored, finally, the city mayor sit in the bulldozers and simply slowly creeped along, pushing them out. And that's a metaphor of what is needed in Washington today. We need the bulldozer of American voters to push the squatters out of Washington. Oh, yeah. Anyway, the pressure's building as black and white liberal racists continue to agitate and foment racial hatred. I mean, it's so crazy right now that when white kids organize an anti-racism rally, the liberal racists running our universities shut them down and scold them. Unbelievable. And at the same time, the push to prepare America to become a member of the ISIS caliphate continues to build. And it's going to break one way or the other. The libs hope it breaks toward full capitulation to Obamatics, the complete deconstruction of our constitution and way of life. But of course, we pray it will break to the right, and people will wake up and pull this country back from the brink. It's going to be a deep massage, so get ready, because if you've got a soft or sensitive spot in your brain, you might feel a bit of discomfort here and there through the massage today, but don't worry. By the end of the show, you're going to feel great, so get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Let's begin today by exploring the recent attack in San Bernardino. Most of the facts have surfaced. At least enough has come to light to remove any doubt about what underlies this attack. The FBI are now, reluctantly, investigating it as an act of terror. Sorry, Obama. They tried as best they could, you know, so don't hold it against them. First, the facts as we know them. Earlier, Saeed Farooq and his recently married Pakistani wife, Tashfeen Malik, dropped off their six-month-old baby at his mother's home, explaining they had a doctor's appointment. At about 10 a.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time, on Wednesday, Saeed Rizwan Farooq, a health inspector for the San Bernardino County, went to the Inland Regional Center, a gun-free zone, by the way, ostensibly to attend the employees' holiday party with his fellow county workers at a conference center there, and left a short while after arriving. He returned with his wife at 11 a.m., dressed in tactical gear, ski masks, armed with long rifles and pistols and over 1,600 rounds of ammo, and an IED, that's an improvised explosive device, specifically in this case a contraption made of three pipe bombs, connected together with a remote-controlled trigger they could detonate from their car. Yeah, well, they shot and killed 14 and wounded 21 others in only a few minutes. They left the IED and fled in a black Suburban, a Ford Expedition, it turns out, that they had rented that morning for the purpose. The IED failed to detonate. For that, we can be thankful. During questioning, The police learned that the shooters were wearing tactical gear, seemed to know what they were doing. They found a witness who testified they had seen at least one person hurry from the scene and get into a black SUV and speed away. From further questioning of other survivors at the scene, they ascertained that one of the employees who had attended the party had left soon after arriving. Well, they got his name, discovered he had rented a black SUV that morning, answering to the description of the witness, and got his address there in Redland, and so staked out his house. Meanwhile, letting it out cleverly that they expected the shooters had fled from town and that the black SUV had been found in Pasadena, and so on. And this apparently was to lull them into thinking it would be safe to return to their base. Well, it worked. The black SUV passed by the house, spotted the police, and sped away. A chase ensued. The black SUV stopped on San Bernardino Avenue, and the shooters opened fire on the police. The suspects shot 76 rounds at the police, who fired 380 rounds in return. Fire looked like a Bonnie and Clyde scene. Man, should have seen that SUV riddled with bullets, killing both the husband, Farouk, and his wife, Malik. At the scene, they recovered four weapons, two assault rifles and two 9mm pistols, all legally purchased, by the way. But this is disturbing. Two of the weapons were traced back to the assailants, but two others were traced to another person. And they're telling us there were only two assailants, but earlier reports, if you were following this, said there were three. Is there another one on the loose, or is there something else weird going on here? After examining the home there in Redland, they found 12 pipe bombs in the house, material to make more thousands of rounds of ammo. Folks, it's very obvious these people were planning an attack, and the plan involved some months of preparation. The 1,600 rounds of ammo found in their vehicle indicates an intention either to engage in a lengthy standoff with the police or that they had another target in mind. And of course, you have the obligatory, he was a nice guy, everybody liked him, and the occasional hint at suspicion, little subtle things like, well, he was very quiet and he kept to himself. Of course, this was a terrorist act. As Giuliani said, only a moron could think it was anything else, which explains why liberals immediately begin talking about work-related violence and reported the perps were white men. No, really. That was the earliest working hypothesis of the mainstream media. Reports are that the shooters are white. And of course, Obama, the epitome of restraint, careful never to jump to any conclusion, especially when it comes to terrorism, suggests it could be workplace violence. You gotta throw that in there, you know. But when it comes to white police officers shooting black teens, it's obvious to him what happened. Police brutality. No doubt about it, long before the facts are known. He jumps in with his denouncements of the police, as if he has clairvoyant ability in these cases. But in every case where it involves a Muslim killing a Christian, you know, as in Syria and Iraq, where radical Muslims under the banner of ISIS are murdering Christians in wholesale slaughter. Well, he's all restraint and caution and chooses his words carefully. And all the early reports were that there was no evidence that Farouk had been radicalized. Okay, to conclude the first segment, I'll go over the points of the story that make it different and that mark it as a different brand of terrorism, perhaps a new kind developing. First, so far, there has been no report of any Allahu Akbar declarations by the shooters. Of course, it's possible that no one could hear them over the shots and the screams of the people being shot. But second, they obviously did not intend to do this as a suicide mission. They had a well-thought-out escape plan and one that was well-executed. I mean, aside from the mistake they made believing the reports that police thought they had a black SUV in Pasadena, so thought it was safe to return to their home base. Who knows? Maybe they wanted to get some more pipe bombs for another planned attack, or noticed that their planned pipe bomb explosion didn't go off, so they wanted to go fix that one. There are some strange things about this case. The knee-jerk MSM released early reports that the perps were white men and right away began to suggest it was a workplace dispute. Now, hold on. That doesn't mean it's not terrorism, which is a hint that we are moving toward the Brilliant Insight release moment here. Let me work that spot some more. What is the difference between workplace violence perpetrated by a radical Muslim killing in the name of Allah and a terrorist attack? How about nothing? Ask the family of the Oklahoma woman who was beheaded by a Muslim fellow worker while shouting Allahu Akbar after a workplace dispute, along with all their family, friends, and, well, all of Oklahoma for that matter. So what convinces us that this was an act of terrorism? Was it the stockpile of ammo found in the home of the San Bernardino radical Muslim terrorists? Many patriots stockpile ammo these days, and for good reason. One of them illustrated by this attack. And Obama's policies are setting us up for more San Bernardino attacks. Listen up. So that alone does not make them terrorists, but the pipe bombs? And according to one officer, the Redland House was a veritable pipe bomb factory. 12 already made, with materials to make many more with remote control detonators. So you've got a couple who are obviously planning some sort of Allahu Akbar attack. We know that because first they were stockpiling pipe bombs. Then we get these reports from neighbors informing us that in the weeks leading up to the attack, there was a, quote, flurry of activity at their home, a multitude of Middle Eastern individuals, end quote, seen coming and going, quote, at all hours, end quote. They also noticed, quote, vast amounts of packages, end quote, being delivered at the house. It was so suspicious that one neighbor thought about calling the police, but then said they were afraid they would be labeled racist or Islamophobic. And then there's the reports that Farouk and his wife, Tashfeen Malik, were corresponding by phone and social media with persons known to the FBI to be terrorist suspects. And now we're getting reports of a likely ISIS connection. Yeah, quote, Tashfeen Malik, the female San Bernardino shooter, pledged allegiance to ISIS in a Facebook post, according to government officials, end quote. So here is the picture that begins to emerge. Farouk, by all accounts, was a quiet but friendly Muslim of Pakistani descent. He wanted a wife. He met Tashfeen online, of Pakistani descent, who was then living in Saudi Arabia, or at least that's where they met. In September of 2013, Farouk went to Saudi Arabia to meet with Tashfeen, and they become engaged. Malik applied for a K-1 visa at the American Embassy in May of 2014, and under Obama rules was fast-tracked, so Farouk went back to Saudi Arabia to bring his fiancée to America, where he married her. Malik was then issued a permanent residence green card in July of 2015. Now, that's moving pretty quick there, isn't it? About 1 year later, Farouk starts growing out his beard. Well, I mean, you know, what's in a beard? We know both Farouk and Malik were communicating by social media with persons suspected by the FBI to be terrorists or to have been engaged in terrorist-related activity. One report said there was some phone contact between Farouk and one of these unsavory fellows. Middle Eastern visitors start frequenting his house in large numbers, like maybe a cell group is forming. But what pulled the trigger? If the FBI were aware of this, and we have reports that they were, it appears something happened that pulled the trigger on this group to attack prematurely and to attack their own friends and co-workers. I mean, the people who gave them a baby shower only some few months earlier and with whom they commiserated daily in a friendly way. I wonder, the county employees invited Farouk to a holiday party. But not to worry, you know, it wasn't called a Christmas party. Obama would never have stood for that. He has made a law against saying Merry Christmas in the military. So, surely that's not what made this fellow make his own co-workers a target for his attack, is it? I did hear that Farouk went to the party, and one report said there was an altercation involving Farouk, who then abruptly left the party. And a little while later, these two shooters show up wearing ski masks and tactical gear and spraying the group with gunfire. Good night! Clearly, they were planning some sort of terrorist attack. But what I'm suspicious is that something happened that made his fellow workers the target. And so we wonder what happened. What happened on the job to make them the target of a pre-planned terrorist attack? Maybe someone said Merry Christmas to him, and that made him go ballistic. I mentioned the one unconfirmed report that there was some altercation involving Farouk at the party before he left. Now, there has been no report of anyone saying Merry Christmas to him at the party, but what if some insensitive conservative had the gall to say Merry Christmas to a Muslim? Of course, that would make any Muslim go all radical, right? How ridiculous is that? Surely, that is what Obama must be afraid of. That must be what he's concerned about. That's what he's trying to protect us from. With his nonsense rule in the military, you can't say Merry Christmas anyway. Stay with me through the break, folks. I'll be right back.
I'm sure, like me, you have laid claim to the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. If ever we needed Christians who understand how to pray effectively, it is today. Come to the Lighthouse beginning January 3rd through the 6th and learn how to pray for revival with evangelist Dr. Benny Beckham, famous prayer evangelist. January 3rd, beginning 9:30 a.m., continuing at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. Then Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. each evening. Now is the time for all God's people to seek the face of God in the aid of this country. Call 805-347-9887 for more information.
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Betteravia Road, Santa Maria. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedaravia Road, Santa Maria. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. My friends, it appears the radical Muslims have landed, and it's jihad in our streets. Now, I'm talking about the San Bernardino terrorist attack at the holiday party for county employees held at the Inland Regional Center Conference Room on Wednesday last. All the evidence drives us to conclude Farouk and Malik were planning to respond to a recent ISIS call to all Muslims to rise up everywhere and attack, and that they took the occasion of the holiday party to launch that attack. Who knows, maybe Farouk went to the party to make certain some target was there, as some have suggested. Perhaps it was someone who said Merry Christmas to him, or to his wife, or who gave him a gospel tract. You know, boy, that'd be something to shoot people for. Or who said something like, he did not like Muhammad, or he didn't believe in Islam, or said something negative about Muhammad or Islam. Well, we don't know. But that's the point. Here is a case where some neighbors went from friendly neighborhood Muslims to radicalized crazies in a very short time frame, where people saw suspicious behavior but were intimidated by a fear they would be called Islamophobes or racists, so they did not say anything. Now, did you hear that? Some neighbors knew something very wrong was going on their street, and they thought about alerting the police. But they changed their mind because they were afraid they would be accused of being Islamophobic or that they would be called racists. Liberals, you're destroying this country by the death of 100 cuts. While Obama's trampling the Constitution, encouraging ISIS, and building them up, his liberal counterparts here are working overtime to prepare Americans to live under Sharia law. What do you think this bit about not saying Merry Christmas is really all about? Come on, it's about offending Muslims. Nobody cared about this when atheists were harping about it. They've been harping about this for decades. It's about appeasing the radical Muslims who object to living in any society where Islam is not the ruling religion of the land. And here's the point. An event like this in a sane world, like what happened in San Bernardino, would have people rising up in mass and screaming, "Stop the refugee program." Obviously, we don't want more of that planted in our communities. In a sane world, we would be following Sheriff Arpaio's advice in response to this horror. He said, quote, "Draw your weapons," end quote. Yeah, quote, Arpaio calls on 250,000 armed citizens to stop terrorism and mass shootings, end quote. He was calling on the 250,000 concealed carry permitted Arizonans to prepare to act if any such event occurs in his state. But here's the response of some foolish liberals. Attorney General of the United States, Loretta Lynch, responds to the mass murders in San Bernardino by terrorist Farouk and Malik as providing, in her words, quote, a wonderful opportunity, to pass gun control, end quote. And her boss, Obama, wasted no time to blame the guns for this. Can you believe these ridiculous people? I think it goes beyond stupidity. I think it's insidious treachery. They blame the guns, but they know what's going on here. Besides, how can that be? Look, first of all, every gun that was used was purchased according to liberal restrictions. Yeah, in accordance with all the gun laws in the books. And besides, it was a gun-free zone. Don't you know if you have laws restricting people from buying guns and declare a place to be gun-free, well, that these things aren't supposed to happen? These things always happen at gun-free zones. And no law is going to keep guns out of the hands of law-breaking radical Muslim crazies. Your laws will only make it harder for law-abiding citizens to protect themselves from them. In a sane world, we would be listening to Jesus Christ, whose entrance into the world as the incarnate Son of God we celebrate in this season, who instructed his disciples that in his absence, they would need to procure a sword. Bible thump alert. Bible thump, yeah.
Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert.
Okay. Jesus said, then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. Now what way would his disciples procuring a sword per his instructions result in him being reckoned among the transgressors? Think about that. It goes on, and they said to him, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said to them, it's enough. And, you know, only Roman citizens could carry arms back then, and even then not in Rome, or at least not openly, or in any of the major cities. And crime was a huge problem, by the way. People did not dare walk about the major cities at night without bodyguards. Murder by sword, by clubs, by beatings during robbery was common. When Jesus instructed his disciples to get a sword, he did it with urgency. He said, even if you have to sell your garment to get one, do it. Jesus instructed his disciples to arm themselves in preparation for his absence. The context makes it clear. This was for self-defense. It was in the same category as taking care to procure some money, or scrip, as it's called in the Bible, and to make other provisions and stuff, because he would not be here in person, that is, in the flesh, to take care of us as he had been then. He made it clear that, therefore, it would be our responsibility to take care of these things. And of course, as we obey him, he undertakes to help us, but we must obey. That ridiculous New York Daily News cover, good night, on the Daily Signal, in response to prayers being, you know, thoughts and prayers being asked on behalf of victims, families, and so on. And the big cover says, God isn't fixing this. You know, no doubt taking their cue from their wonderful leader, Obama, who recently insinuated prayer is void of any real value in a crisis. Listen, Romans 13:1-6 makes it plain that God has ordained government to execute wrath upon evildoers. He gets it done through them. And when government decides instead to arm the evildoers and to aid and abet them and to invite them over and to do everything possible to protect them and at all costs, even at the cost of the lives of our own people, Obama and his ilk and the crowd that that New York paper called the Daily Signal constantly champion are trying to disarm the United States American citizen while at the same time they arm Iran, And busy sending out the message that you can't say Merry Christmas because it might offend a Muslim or anybody. These people who are bringing this threat into our country, exposing us like this, and then trying to take away our ability to protect ourselves. These people who are busy training teachers to tell 12-year-olds they have to say God is a myth or get a failing grade in their class. You hear about that little kid in Texas? And you and I know for a fact that if that involved anybody with a Muslim faith, it would never happen. The liberal media would be in uproar that any teacher would dare challenge the beliefs of a Muslim. What is with all this placating and babying the Muslim sensitivities? Look, are they preparing you to live under Sharia? Look, Jesus told you to arm yourself. And in light of what's going on around us, this is getting bad, my friend. My son recently was in a conversation with a man of Islam. And I've had many conversations with Muslim people, and nothing like this has ever happened, but it's getting tense. It came out that my son had spent some time in Afghanistan as an American soldier, and the Muslim man said something so stupid it's unbelievable. He said that he wished Zach had been killed while he was in Afghanistan. Well, Zach responded by saying, well, I hope I killed some of your Muslim family, which is not appropriate, but I totally get why he would say that. Now, get this. That Muslim fellow ran off and complained, and then Zach got in trouble. Now, I honestly am not sure what insults me more. The fact that this wicked, perverted, and twisted creep would say to my son that he wished he had been killed in Afghanistan, or that he would, like a little sister, you know, run and whine to the authorities because Zach retaliated in kind to his horrible statement. What a ninny! But my point here is the tensions between Americans and their Muslim neighbors is not going to be helped by that kind of thing being said by some idiot or by this nonsense that went down in San Bernardino recently. And this is a very bad time to be flooding our neighborhoods with Muslim people who are not coming here to become Americans. They're not coming here to adopt our way of life. They're not coming here because they believe in our constitutional form of governance. They're not coming here to adapt their culture within the boundaries of our laws. They have no respect at all for our concept of freedom of religion and all this. The scary thing here is that no one, including moi, wants to go around suspicious of our Muslim neighbors. And I don't. I don't want to assume every Muslim I meet is a sleeper terrorist. But this event in San Bernardino was disturbing in precisely that way. You have a neighborhood Muslim man who was, apparently and very suddenly, radicalized by his wife, who it seems used him to get into America and to set up a terrorist cell. And because of real Islamophobia, not the kind of junk that's being thrown at us all the time, but the real Islamophobia is those who are afraid to say anything because they don't want to be accused of Islamophobia. And then the liberals say, oh boy, this is great. Another wonderful opportunity to push for stronger gun restrictions. You've got to be kidding me. And according to the Bible, that is exactly opposite of what needs to happen. Good, law-abiding American citizens need to arm themselves now more than ever before. According to Jesus, you need a sword for self-defense. And in that day, the sword was the high-end weapon of choice for all armies. And he knew that telling his disciples to do this would be very politically incorrect in his day. Oh yeah, he knew that. And that it would give rise to accusations that he was associated with transgressors. You need to get armed. And you need to learn how to responsibly keep and bear those arms. You can go to our friends at Range Masters in San Luis Obispo to meet both of those needs. And as for God not fixing this, well, your chief liber, Obama, knows that, you know, quote, thoughts and prayers are not enough, end quote. Remember that? Of course, in the context of his statement, he was decrying the whole thing. It was disgusting. But you silly people who, quote, do not like to retain God in your knowledge, end quote. That's out of the Bible, by the way. And so, therefore, God gives you up to the consequences of that business. Romans chapter 1. You need to understand, that's the deal, baby. He ordained government to execute wrath upon evildoers, and he has given you a government in America that is accountable to the people. If the people sit back and let Obama disarm them, in direct contradiction to what Jesus, your Lord, told you to do, if you allow Obama to trample on the Constitution built on the foundation that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, if the people turn their back on the house of God, why are you surprised if he turns his back on you? Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Jeremiah 18, verse 17. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. That's what God has to say to you. Now, God would fix this in short order if we would do what he told us to do. Sunday night, I'm going to outline from the scripture exactly what the Bible says we should do about the arrival of Islamic Jihad on the streets of America. Now, I have lit the lamps at the Church Belfry Arch. Now, you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, lights off if you disagree. Or if you prefer it, or if you're from outside the country, you may contact me by email. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. And you'll see there a place where you can communicate to me by email. If you're in a hurry when you call, you can just say lights on and hang up. But if you're a lights off listener and you call and slam the phone down so hard you break it, we're not responsible for any damaged property in that way. But do leave me a message. Let me know what you think of the show, positive or negative. I'd love to hear from my audience. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Love him or hate him, the Brain Masseur is going to make you think. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon